Hello, this is Johnny Beaner. I am a hilarious comedian, and you are listening to Christopher Olsen's podcast, You Don't Say, coming to you live from the basement in Silence of the Lambs. It truly is the Breakfast of Champions.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the You Don't Say podcast. I am your host, your gracious host, as always, Christopher Olsen. Thank you so much again for all the tweets and the retweets, the Facebook shares, the likes, as I've said, even the dislikes. I like them. Thank you. Appreciate it. Things are going well. And back with you here for another episode. And this time around, I was able to have a nice little chat with Mike O'Keefe and Trevor Smith. Mike and Trevor were doing a co-headline week at the Skyline Comedy Cafe, and I just happened to be in town at the homestead, if you will, at the studio, of course, the studio as always. And I've met Mike before, and it'd been a while, but I always enjoy like following him through his social media, and that's what's kind of great is between he and Trevor, it's great just seeing what they do and what they're doing, and you know, through YouTube clips and things like that. That's always neat to follow and then get together, hang out, and chat. But anyway, I met Mike several years ago and heard he was coming into town, and I was a little free. So asked them to stop on over to said studio, and we had a great chat. We talked quite a bit about comedy, how both of them, both Mike and Trevor, started together. They essentially started really when they were like 18 years old. And through college, Mike grew up in Ann Arbor, went to Michigan State, and he and Trevor had sort of come through together. And from there, Trevor has been in Los Angeles, and now for 3.5-4 years, I believe he says. And Mike is in Chicago, and both doing well. And it was wonderful to sit down with him and have a good chat. We call this I like to call this the Ooh episode. If you count the amount of times that we both, or with the three of us, go ooh, it's fun, and we make like obscure references to various different sports heroes, specifically the Detroit Red Wings. And I grew up a Red Wings fan. Really, it was kind of the closest hockey team that I had growing up. And you know, as a fan of hockey, the late 90s was pretty cool. And 2000s are pretty cool to be a Red Wings fan. So it was just fun kind of talking hockey. And we talk football. They bring up the town I live in, of Appleton, Wisconsin, as well as I guess the desire. I don't know if desire is the right word, but the Packers. We talk about football quite a bit, and not quite a bit, but a touch. But it was really cool. I'd never met Trevor before, but we'd followed each other because we have like mutual friends and so forth. But really, really great guy. So whenever you have a chance, please catch Trevor. He mentions his show in Los Angeles, which is I believe he said once a month. Mike runs a show in Chicago twice a month, which is mentioned, as well as their websites, their Twitter handles, you can find them on Instagram. So give a listen and pump this one out. We had a lot of fun. It was just laid back conversation. We talk about water. We talk about bevin up. You gotta have some water. Gotta hydrate. Monster energy drinks. Things of that nature. But it was just such a good time talking to these guys, and I can't say enough about them. They're awesome. So catch them whenever you can. Again, special thanks to the Skyline Comedy Cafe in Appleton, Wisconsin. Cliff and his staff always doing some of the best work in the industry. So many thanks to them. So without further ado, my conversation for you. And again, kick this out. Hope you enjoy it. We had a blast. My conversation with Mike O'Keefe and Trevor Smith. Thanks. I don't know.
I'm sponsored by Zebra.
He really is.
I don't know why.
I'm sponsored by Nice Water. What is that water? Nice.
No, it's nice. I don't know what it is about these pens, but they're
It's the best water. It's the greatest water I've ever tasted. It's so clean and crisp and refreshing.
It's so nice. It's fantastic. It's just a good, nice water.
And the Mexicans will never have it. A lot of people are talking about this water, and they're talking about how the Mexicans will never have it. That's why they say it's the best water. My name is Ronald Trump, and I approve this message. We were talking earlier, like, I think Donald Trump... takes the thing where he has to say, I'm Donald Trump and I approve this message so seriously that, like, if he doesn't say it in his speeches, it doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't
count. But he's like, I remember all those things you didn't agree with. Well, yeah. I didn't say Simon
says.
I didn't say Donald Trump approves it.
I didn't say it was approved by me, Donald Trump.
No, but I think it's clearly an ego thing where he gets to say that. It's just my theory.
He loves signing off on things.
Yeah.
He loves
the fact that it has to have his verbal stamp of approval.
Totally. He is actually, like, I hate to say it, but he's a fantastic marketer.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he's just like, I put my name on everything. Everything, and it's all the best because I don't shut the fuck up about how it's the fucking best.
Let me finish. Finish board games. Mine was the best. Monopoly shit. Mine the best.
Which mine was just a Trump Monopoly.
Very similar.
Everything was Park Place because I'm very.
That's where I belong.
Park Place.
Bellagio.
The Bellagio.
My sons hunt wild animals in Africa because they have tiny penises.
That's so true. I mean, the
sick of fucking horrible people.
You know the upside to this though.
Yeah.
We are in election season, but we only have like. 3 more months of this horseshit to deal with.
No, we don't. It'll never stop. Like, regardless of who wins.
That's where thing. I was going. Yeah. As far as the election stuff, what's going to happen is the following 2 years is going to be, well, Jesus Christ. I mean, whatever happens, it's going to be some sort of, you know, verbal shitstorm regardless. So
yeah, and I think the broad's definitely going to get in there, which I think there's no other way. I think the broad's going to take it.
You can't turn off the Trump speech.
I really can't.
I think the broad's going to get it.
September 22nd, I.O. I'm doing a benefit for Hillary Clinton called my girlfriend set it up called I'm with Hilarity. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's nice.
That'll be fun. Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys, for coming over. This was nice.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Yeah. Should we introduce ourselves?
Actually, yeah. Go ahead. Sure. I don't know. I'm Mike O'Keefe, Trevor Smith.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Mike. And
Trevor.
That's Trevor.
That's Trevor. Yeah.
And this is a cool, refreshing Monster Energy beverage. I have the Recovery, which is an iced tea lemonade combination. It's the best Arnold Palmer style beverage on the market. It's truly fantastic. My Trump gets to be Woody Allen if I do it for too long. It just morphs into a.
Have you ever been to a Hollywood party and they don't have Monster?
Terrible. I drink this because I used to ride skateboards as a child.
That's nice, though. So, you guys mentioned it last night. You guys started together?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right outside Detroit. Where we first met at the Comedy Castle.
I think we first met at Dr. Grant's, if I remember correctly.
Because we did the college thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were Team Western Michigan. I was Team Michigan State.
Oh, yeah. My.
And you guys wiped the floor with us.
You did. Well, that'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But then, we were also.
Yeah. And then you.
At the comedy clubs. Yeah.
Totally, yeah. And then, like, you graduated college, and I was like, I was a year or two behind you. And then like that summer I was like back home and you were back home and we were like, oh, we've seen each other every night for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Which I think is like how most like friendship, it's like, you're still you
again.
Oh,
oh
cool.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like a little bit more, it's like way more. It's better than a work friendship. It's like a work friendship, but an actual friendship.
Right.
It's like you have this mutual. It's not just like a mutual thing you guys want to do, but it's like.
So finally, somebody asks the other one for a ride.
Oh yeah,
can I get a ride?
Not a ride.
No, yeah. Our parents always coordinated that.
Yeah, they did. Marianne called Wendy, and they
That's great.
Man, I would do this thing where like we'd meet somewhere to drive to a show together, and there would be, I don't know, 4 seconds of traffic, and then I would call Trevor in a panic, be like, it's not gonna fucking happen, man. I'm gonna fucking be here forever. Yeah. Be here forever.
And yeah, then, he would just go like, leave without me. Like if we were meeting to drive somewhere, yeah, and I'd be like, well, I mean,
it's
I'm gonna wait.
What,
how long do you think? Like 10 minutes? You're gonna be like 10 minutes late? And he's like, yeah, I guess like 10 minutes. All right, well, I think we'll still make it.
I think it'll be fine.
It could be good.
Okay.
It's great.
If not this dumb bar showcase in goddamn Clarkson is going to be hurting.
That's right. Yeah.
Listen, the good people of Milford, Michigan needed to see our comedy.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting how you try to sync together for some of those trips, so to speak, that are perhaps in the middle of nowhere or have you. But yeah, it's
and suburban Detroit is so spread out. You know what I mean? When we started in Detroit, and this is going to be a very specific time.
No, yeah, go ahead.
Of Detroit comedy, but there were we counted it up like 8 full time rooms that you could drive to.
Within 2 hours.
Of each other.
Shit, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
For sure. And we all us and a dude named Ricarlo, and would you say Jeff Sheen and Jeff Arcuri too?
Yeah,
and then Zach Martino and Matt McClowry and Nate Frinson, of course. Those were like all of our guys, and we was just like we were the ones where everyone was like, "Oh, those guys are like trying. That's cool."
Yeah, I think when you, I think that happens in any scene where like the people that take it seriously sort of gravitate toward each other and like, "Oh yeah, we all like this."
Yeah,
and we're not just like
yes.
Know.
And I will easily lay out the landscape of say because I'm local. This is where I live, and I'm not working this weekend clearly. But but no, when it happens, I like having folks over and we shoot the shit and things like this. But
for sure.
Something did happen, and I don't know. I have 2 or 3 different theories, but tagging on to what you said of just there are certain individuals within a scene that then just, I don't want to say cream of the crop. That's not, probably not the right analogy, but you can certainly tell those that want to get better, that give a shit, that then really sort of hammer at the craft of writing. They're trying, you know, they'll do the 2 hours to get, you know, whatever, 5 minutes, seven minutes, whatever, sometimes 3. And I will say there was a heavy group locally, and there is still a heavy group.
Like big people? Like they were
like
heavy?
It, yeah, no, it helps like, everyone else.
They ate a lot.
Take it seriously.
I mean, this is Wisconsin, Mike.
Course,
I mean,
yeah.
Jesus, it's a lot of fried foods.
But
no,
there was
a lot of headcount. Yeah. And what has happened now is the headcount is still large, but it's not as many people. But the quality has become much better.
That's good.
I think that comes out of people taking it seriously.
Absolutely, and I think that's exactly what happened.
You set that standard, and then people were like, "Well, I got to be as good as him."
I got it.
Right.
We got to kind of you kind of challenge each other,
right?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like when we would all go to Mike's and stuff, it was like he's gonna do a new 5 minutes.
No. Oh fuck!
I gotta do a new 5 minutes.
No, exactly. But that is a kick in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to where you know for the next week, the next time that you see that person, well, Jesus, I sure as hell better have another 3, three. You know, I don't know.
And when your talent pool is not huge, and when your audiences that you're performing for, like we would do the same, we would do the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase forever. Like every weekend forever, we would do that club, either guest spotting or one of us hosting. I think I counted up. I think I hosted maybe 10 weekends there 1 year.
Wow,
which
that's
is
cool.
That's a crazy amount,
right?
And it's like if you're going up at that kind of club where there's regulars and there's like a certain standard that the owner wants, and it's a club that's run very similar to Skyline, you have to keep producing new and good material, and I think just the combination of the stage time and the us pushing each other and to a certain extent Roger pushing us and Jay pushing us it really helped in every single facet of my game.
That's cool. That's good
for sure. And also there weren't a lot of like girls that liked us.
isn't that a swell trend?
It is now that I think back of it, like every probably, save for like, you know, a couple mistakes in high school, and not like their mistakes, not my mistake, their mistakes. I think
a
every
lot of
time,
well, I don't know what you're gonna say, but I already can't believe there's only a couple mistakes.
I think almost every time I've ever gotten laid was from comedy. Like I 100%, 100%.
See that?
Nice.
Yeah, but I've nice. Similar, but that's just because. Well, that's just because I never really had a social life outside of comedy.
Oh, totally. Me, not as an adult.
Yeah.
At all.
I mean, I started working at comedy clubs when I was 18.
Yeah, me too.
So I mean, I never had a social life that didn't involve comedy in some way.
Yeah.
Okay.
All my friends were always, you know, comics and
For sure.
No, and I've seen that. I've seen that as well with what are now, you know, say like local scene peers that. They kind of fall into that bracket of where it, you know, they didn't have like a very, I shouldn't say that because I don't know a lot of them heavily personally, but just in talking to them, I know that, well, no, they don't have like a big circle of, say, close friends. What is happening is all the times we work together, it's becoming, well, let's grab something to eat before this show, or what are you doing this week? Let's just bounce some new shit off each other.
Hang out. Yeah,
to where then all of a sudden, just as you guys were saying, it's, well, now all of a sudden there's this friendship.
Sure.
Yeah.
That maybe, and sometimes it's completely different personalities, but you've got this, you've got this lifestyle, you've got this love in common, so to speak.
It turns out to be a fraternity where they only let the losers in. That's always what I kind of thought of it as.
That's pretty good.
Like, it's not like oh, you don't have to like pay, like you don't have to pay to be in it,
right?
You do. Like you have to drive.
Well,
a lot.
And there's
and
yeah.
Of course, you know, but it's like you have to be a certain level of shithead to like be in our club. It's very weird, man.
Yeah.
But
no,
it is amazing. Like the woman I'm dating now is a comedian as well, and but she didn't start doing stand up until about 2 years ago. But she always she has actual real life friends.
Yeah.
And it is so fascinating to me because I'm like, what do you guys do? They're like, oh, we just like, you know, we just get dinner. I'm like, and then what? Maybe a drink afterwards. And then what?
And then?
Like,
then
it's
what?
Like, when do you guys do bits for each other?
I was just going to say, when do you start spinning bits?
When do you
hit an open mic? What
you
do
carry
you
do? Notebooks, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's so good.
I'm just like, oh, so Claire is just a great person. Cool. Like, that sounds amazing. What an awesome thing.
How does she feel about zebra pens? I know.
That was her Trump impression. She is a good Trump. She'd bev up? Before you guys hang out, she'd bev up? She'd do that?
Bev up before dinner, during, or after?
Oh, man. Oh. It's such a weird. It's like, you get a movie. You just see a movie? Okay, cool. And then she doesn't book you on anything? Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus fucking Christ.
That's such a great caveat. Like, wait a minute. She doesn't book you for nothing? Okay, well, fair enough.
Did she take you on the road anywhere? No.
Right, no shit.
Oh, I got to take you on the road. Fucking hell. Jeez.
Yeah.
Claire's got to pick up some of this slack. Wow.
No shit. Trevor, you're in Los Angeles, correct?
Yeah.
That's cool. How long have you been there?
Like 3.5, a little over 3.5. Yeah.
No shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah. It's great, you know? Palm trees.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I mean, coming from the Midwest, the weather, it's like I'd be lying if I said the weather wasn't part of it. You know?
No, and I've heard that because there's a number of Midwest and even Wisconsin folks, quite frankly, and Mike, you're in Chicago.
Oh,
right?
Chicago, yeah.
But there's been a lot of people that have told me, I don't know, man. You can bitch all you want about the weather here, but there's here being Midwest, but there's nothing to beat the weather out west. There's just nothing.
Yeah,
and
I
you
mean,
can walk everywhere.
There's definitely nostalgia of like seasons and stuff like that. That
right.
You don't get. And time seems to go faster because it all feels the same. But
yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I turned. Oh, is it Joel Kilgallen had told me? He said the first winter in L.A. was like his hardest because he's waiting for this cold.
For this whole, he's just like
because he just missed Chicago, but he's born and raised Chicago. He's
the most Chicago guy ever.
Absolutely, the most Chicago man.
Him and Danny Callis need to have a fight for most Chicago.
Yes, no shit.
And the winner gets unlimited Italian beefs.
Well, no, he was very honest because it was right after he made the move. We then had a chat, and I don't think he had moved yet when we recorded. But anyway, he said that first winter was just brutal on me, just mentally, because we're like, where's the fucking snow? And where's the shitty traffic? And we're, you know, and it's not there. And it's, you're, he's walking his dog, and it's 68. And it's, you know, it's just, but
sounds
that's
terrible.
Yeah, it sounds like the shit.
Worst.
Just
like, yeah, I mean, that, the biggest, like, not having to worry about, like, checking the roads for like snow,
that does
like
sound
that, like is
great.
That sounds glorious.
Is nice, but otherwise, yeah, I like layers. I like dressing in. So like, I do kind of miss the briskness of like, not like the I hate this cold, but the part of the winter that everyone does like.
Yeah.
that grew up around here.
I think I would miss October and November.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
you don't
for
like.
Sure.
I said the exact same thing. I said there's 3 months I'd probably miss. September through November.
Fuck yeah.
That'd be about it.
That's my,
after that,
that's
then
my jam right there.
I'd probably, yeah, then I, yeah, then I, no, yeah. I'm liking the palm trees in the 68.
Right,
I'm,
yeah.
Yeah.
I want to walk outside and have it be brisk.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I can wear a hoodie, but still feel like maybe I should have got a jacket. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
But,
like, yeah. It's a nice feeling.
That's a good temperature. That's like November Midwest.
Hoodie,
or like October Midwest.
Hoodie and a Dickies jacket. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the way to go.
It's
man.
Good look too.
It is a good look.
Yeah,
it is a good look.
That's
everybody.
Not
who,
on you. Everyone else.
Everyone who liked punk rock from like '96 to 2002. That's how they dress now. That's
right.
All it is.
Yeah.
That's the.
That's what it is.
They just won't give it up, and
like,
that's fine.
Yeah. You what are you? Box of Souls fan.
Works,
enjoy
yeah.
this. Enjoy it, buddy.
Were you both in Chicago then for a while?
Mm-mm. No, I moved from Michigan to.
Trevor,
LA.
Okay, you were never in. Okay,
so. Yeah, Trevor's never in Chicago. And
I spent a lot of time in Chicago. Like whenever I would on the road, just passing through, I'd always stay a couple days, do shows, hang out.
That's cool.
You know?
We all kind of did at the beginning there. Everyone just kind of like Chicago was kind of like this nice hub for everyone in the Midwest.
Yeah,
it's also like to get to Minneapolis, to get to Milwaukee, to get to Appleton. You got to go through Chicago.
Right.
So it was just very easy to be like, oh, I'm going to Minneapolis. I'm going to stop in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then right before you moved to Minneapolis, I moved to Chicago. So I moved to Chicago like fall of 2012.
Oh, I didn't move to Minneapolis.
Oh, sorry. Moved to LA.
Cut that out.
Cut that, please do. I moved to Minneapolis.
I was going
to
say, you
were
in Minneapolis.
I moved to Minneapolis for a year. What I like to call the forgotten year. I moved for a woman who was fresh out of college, and I was like, well, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. And then it didn't go. And we were together for maybe 4 months out there.
Okay.
And then the thing with Minneapolis is I didn't need to have a day job.
Yeah.
And I found out that I kind of need to have a day job. And I went bonkers.
Yeah.
She kind of went bonkers. And then it was just to the point where we were both like, I don't think this is going to work out. And then I still
had. Single now?
What's up?
She's single?
I have no idea. Probably.
Tell her I
said one can hope. Tell her I say.
She will. We got a very cute dog together. You'd love that dog. You really would. You'd get very into that dog. Young Milo. Milo. Shout out to Milo. My former dog. Named
Milo.
After,
named
after the lead singer of the Descendants.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. That's
but yeah, pretty... so I still had 8 months left, so I was just there for 8 months. Yeah. Just like, oh my God. This is, oh boy. This is rough.
This is a
but
tough one.
Then I came back and I love being in Chicago, and it's one of those cities where it has all the like the things about New York comedy that's great, where you can get up a ton and there's a ton of shows and there's a ton of stuff, but you don't have like the spotlight where it's like, hey, you have to like people are watching every night, so you can just like kind of get better on your own time and at your own pace and learn to figure out your own acting, honestly figure out yourself as a human being on stage without the prying eye of fame and fortune.
Which, that's, I mean, so, okay, so Trevor, in LA, that has to be somewhat daunting as well, of that next level shit is just that, is what Mike had said.
I mean, it's the same mentality. I mean, every comic just wants to do well on a show, so I just try to simplify it.
Yeah.
If you're on a show where you're intimidated by the lineup, which happens a lot. Like, there's only a few spots reserved for like the non big name comedians because they're just filling. So it's like when you're on those shows, you just don't know. You just try to do as well as you can.
Right.
You try to kill. I mean, that's what honing an act out here does. It's like you're ahead of people that start there.
Right.
Which seems crazy to me.
That does seem insane. Steven starting in a city
because
like
then you
Chicago,
have like material. You know, you're like, I don't know. I feel at least prepared for showcasing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did. So I have a day job, and about 3 or 4 times a year I have to travel to Boston, and I did 5 minutes in Boston, and it's the same thing. So I walked up, and I was honestly frightened. I was pretty scared. Like, Jesus Christ, this is not going to go over well.
It's a tough city to do comedy into.
But it's the same type of people that I've been bringing up with. They're doing the same. Mm-hmm. The mentality is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Now the material. You know, I didn't have any, you know, local connections.
Well, you do that fuck Boston bit.
Yeah, you
right?
do do that.
And I do it well. I do it very well.
You're like, Derek Jeter, number one, suck my dick. What's up, fucking idiots?
Fuck the Kennedys. Pieces of shit.
Clam chowder, more like ass chowder. Pew, 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 pew. You have an air horn. It's weird. I don't know why Cliff allows it, frankly.
I don't know either. But the comedy pistol. Pew, 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 pew. Yeah,
there's some like there's like an antique mixer by me.
Yeah, that was my dad's.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was like
a sound man.
Is your dad
Phil Spector?
Yeah,
are we in a murder house? Yeah. Get me out of this murder house.
That's what's in that back room. Holy shit! Look at that.
Man.
No,
take
it was...
off that hat, and then your hair fucking poofs out.
Yeah, no, it was that was like one of his first. He just he's a music guy. Just,
oh,
like,
cool, right.
Classic country. And,
great, fantastic.
Yeah, but anyway, that was like one of his first boards. He goes, wow, I got this new one, and I don't want to. I said, you know, that still works fine, and it has like an amp inside of it to where you can use just basic speakers. So I've used it to like run open mics, and the sound isn't that bad.
That's cool. Yeah. Rednecks, white socks, and blue ribbon beer.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
I know a lot of classic country. I'm a big classic country fan.
I grew up with it.
Counting flowers on the wall that don't bother me at all. That's the name of the song. I forgot the name of the song in the chorus. Captain Kangaroo, now don't tell me.
Most people know that song from Pulp Fiction. That's about the biggest connection people now.
Yeah.
Like, I'd say within like the last 20 years. But anyway.
Hey, get rhythm
when you get the blues. Sorry, Trevor. You can pipe in anything you like.
I was enjoying this. I thought you guys were going to play the whole song. I was going to do a bit where I kept acting like I was almost going to get it. And then just see how long you guys could go with
it. It's like, man, if this were a video podcast, this would be the perfect time.
I think if you
did
like 3 more bars, I might.
We could oh man, this would be the perfect time to do the guy who's about to break dance but never break dances.
Oh right, yeah. Those are
a classic bit.
We would do this thing and we would try to like usually on the streets of Ann Arbor.
We'd
do it until a crowd formed just out of fascination.
Yeah.
But like
you have like the cardboard out.
Never the cardboard.
Yeah, we weren't that into the bit, but it was always just like a thing where like Mike would act like he's about to break dance and then he would basically too hot, you know, not now. And then I would go in and do the same thing, and it was all about just anticipation and letting people down.
And I think the biggest reason,
which is my entire sex life.
That's honestly like part of like, I would say one of our favorite things is like building up this anticipation, then being like
watching it Hindenburg. Nothing.
The build up is the joke.
Yeah.
And the rest doesn't matter. I used to do this thing. I still do this thing where I like to waste people's time with magic tricks. Because I've always been fascinated by magicians. I have a good friend who's a magician and he's great. And I used to open for him a lot. But even before that, I was always just like doing card tricks because I think I look like I know what I'm doing, but I don't, and I'm just able to sort of talk people. And I would do this thing where I would like see how long I could get someone in on a trip, basically the same way until kind of a crowd starts to form. And then the whole idea is that I get their card wrong and then I just kind
of
shrug my shoulders and that's it. Like, I don't,
the
like
end
that
it.
Was
yeah.
the whole bit.
So great.
But But this did happen one time. I was a senior in high school. That's how long I've been doing this bit.
Okay, yeah.
I did this where I was like in the hallways. It was like I started doing it to this kid, and I was like making him do all these weird things. I was like, all right, take a car, you know, like step on it, put on a thing, and then like people started coming around, and I was just like, all right, you shuffle this deck. You tell him what the car was. You know, like he keeps. They tell each other. There's more and more people going. They're all like looking at the clock because they got to get to class or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like the bell rings, but everyone's still like in this like, what is he gonna finish the trick? I'm like, all right, I got to get to, you know. So yeah. I'm making him like put it on his head and like just like shuffle it again. I cut the deck in like six places, give it to six people. I tell them to switch decks with each other, but don't show me which deck. Like stuff that doesn't make sense but feels like magic.
Right.
Like, no, trade pieces, but don't tell me what piece. And then they give them to me, and I put them back on the top. And then what I do is, like, I just whipped it at the ground, and they went everywhere. And I pulled one card up, and I, like I said, the whole bit was that I'm gonna get it wrong.
Right.
And I wasted everyone's
right.
time. I turned the card, and the guy was like, "Holy shit!" And he starts and like everyone lost their shit on pure coincidence.
Yeah,
I pulled out the most ridiculous card trick of all time.
You actually became a sorcerer.
Yeah, no, literally everyone was just like, "You got to do that again." I was like, "Nah, I don't want to do it again."
That's just like, one time.
I retired as a fake magician after that.
I retired as the best fake magician of all time.
Threw it down, had one card in my hand. It was his card. It was the craziest thing. He could not believe it.
I can't believe it. I love that story. It's one of my favorite things ever.
Oh my God. Is it good?
Right? Chris is literally wiping tears from his eyes.
Because I could just
see so great.
These high school seniors like, holy shit.
Oh my God, it's fucking over open.
Just running down the hallway. Oh my God. I was just like this legend that never did another trick.
Like they were
just like, dude, Trevor, he does this trick, and
he's
he's an amazing magician.
And everyone that had obviously seen me do the old waste your time bit before, they'd hear about it, and they're like, yeah, but he didn't get the trick right, and they're like, no, he got it. Like, what? And then they go, do the trick for real this time, like thinking
had the long con on them.
Yeah, like the
no
people,
shit, like you just been snowing other people over for all this time.
How dare you?
No, I know how to do it.
I'm dare you hustle us,
fucking
like
you
that.
People over. It's all I'm doing.
So that's
God
like
damn
yeah,
Billy Hoyle. What are you doing?
I love bad magic. The show that I used to in LA, my magician friend who performs at the Magic Castle, he's amazing, Michael Friedland, and he would do a show. He had a theater show that I would just like open for him for.
Sure.
But we would do this kind of segue into each other where like I would just do stand up, and then the bit was that he was running late.
Yeah.
And I would just get flustered. I would start to introduce him and then like get some weird signal from the thing and have to like stretch.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any more material. Like that was the whole thing. So I'd be like, you guys came for magic. I'll give you a trick. I can do a trick. And I just grab one of his props from the table.
Okay.
Yeah. I start doing a card trick. I make someone sign it in the crowd. I'm just like, yeah, sign this card. And then I take it back. I put it in the deck. I shuffle it. I do a whole, you know, I take like 5 minutes just to talking about it. Doing the same thing as the thing. And then I just would like pick out someone in the crowd and be like, you, sir, stand up. What's in your back pocket? Show everybody what's in your back pocket. And then he's like, no. I'm like, fuck. All right. you miss over there. And I would just like, I would get to like, I would make like six separate people do it. And then at that point, it's like kind of funny to everyone because they know that I'm not doing it. And then Michael would come out and apologize to the crowd. For me, wasting their time. He's like, sorry, I was running late. I feel bad. Trevor's a comedian, and that's it. He's not a magician, so I feel bad. I know I was a little late, so I feel bad. You were looking for his card. I'd like to personally like give you my business card, and then I can come. And he pulls out his wallet, and in the card is like
that's
the signed card. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's a good setup. Man,
that is cool.
It's great. It's a seamless transition to him being like, what? Because I don't even know how he does it. But all I knew is that I had to make someone sign a card.
Yeah.
And then he's got magic hands.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing about being a magician is you do need to be born with
magic
hands.
All right. Yeah. They're
magic hands.
Which I had once.
You did?
Well,
you had one.
Yeah, you did.
You had one.
Yeah, you had
one
forgotten the story.
Moment
you just told.
Of magic hands.
You had magic hands once, and boy,
boy,
were your hands.
Some would call it lucky hands. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it.
Fortunate hands. Yeah. Like, I was probably, oh.
I ain't no fortunate hands. No. Weird Al's playing in town tonight, I heard.
Yes, tonight.
Do you think he's going to do Fortunate Hands?
I think he is going to do Fortunate Hands.
It is tonight. I believe it is. Ooh, was it tonight or last night?
Homeboy with the Mohawk said it was tonight.
Okay.
Some guy at the show last night.
Then it must be tonight.
Said he was going tonight for his birthday.
Okay.
And me and that guy talked about wrestling, and he was one of those guys that doesn't have wrestling fan friends. So he was just, like, really nervous. He was like, oh, somebody's talking to me about the secret thing I like? Oh, my God.
Right.
And it was like, oh, it's adorable.
I've found this to be, okay, and this is so interesting to me.
I had no idea that every fucking comedian
loved fucking wrestling.
I had no idea.
I'll tell you what, I followed it.
I hid it from everyone for a long time. And
I
then
followed
like, oh,
it until
it's perfect.
Yeah, I followed it until about maybe like the Stone Cold Steve Austin period, and then I think like I don't know. I think I had kids, and then I don't know. I don't know. But that was about it for me. Now what's happened is I've got two boys. They're 11 and 14. They're into it.
Cool, great.
Mainly the 11-year-old.
Who is their favorite wrestler? Shout out to our friend Vince Averill. Who asked that question of everybody?
I don't know. I feel like such a douche.
Don't worry about it.
I really don't know.
It'll change next week.
It's Monday Night Raw, and it's the Friday night thing. And then if there's a pay-per-view, well, can we get this? And it's, I don't know. I mean, you're going to find out who wins anyway.
And
you can watch it on YouTube tomorrow. Sorry to be such a cheap ass. But
Well, there's no pay-per-view anymore. You can get.
Well, now it's just.
You get the network.
The network, yeah.
Which is. $9.99 a month, pretty good.
Yeah. Is it really okay? God,
yeah,
it's actually not bad.
It's really not, right? That would make you the champ dad if you did that.
Shit, for $10 a month,
$10 a month, yeah.
Huh, that ain't bad.
And they can also watch. They get all the pay per views live. And I don't work for WWE, by the way.
I was just gonna say.
I don't know why I'm showing their thing.
But all coming from McMahon.
Nice water.
I work for Nice Water. We already said that.
It's a nice water, though. I don't care what you say.
I don't care.
A lot of people are talking about the water and how nice it is.
They say it's an aptly titled water. But no, not only do they get the pay-per-views at the time, they also get all the pay-per-views from ever. All the pay-per-views ever.
Oh, hold on. Now, wait a minute. So, like, you can go back and watch, like, WrestleMania 20? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, any of them.
No shit?
Any show.
Okay, I didn't know this.
Yeah, any of them. And then also WCW and ECW. And there's a decent amount of their NXT, which is really cool, which is like the newer guys. It's great.
I'm taking note. I'm sorry, but that's
and
my God.
And
right
then
with a zebra pen.
Was written with a zebra pen.
What Trevor's into, zebra pen.
Listen, you may work for WWE, but I gotta plug the zebra.
Yeah, the fine folks at Office Max and zebra pens.
I definitely don't work for WWE. Really want to get into it. You're going to hear a lot of bad me say a lot of bad things about WWE. However, New Japan Pro Wrestling, the best pro wrestling on the planet. There, I said it right there. New Japan
I've
pro
heard
wrestling.
Of this. I've not watched it, but I've heard of it.
I love New Japan Pro. I've been watching New Japan Pro Wrestling all weekend, Trevor. I love it. These
dope.
Kenny Omega on the top, with Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada. January 4th, they already set it up. Wrestle Kingdom.
Wow.
NJPW World.
You're really into this is big then. This is nice.
I got a dumb hobby.
Trevor, you are not a wrestling.
No.
Yeah, so
no.
Let's talk
I mean,
about
I'm not against
else.
It. I just like
I'm
didn't.
I'm not anti wrestling.
I'm
just like
no, because obviously there are a weird number of comedians that are wrestling.
It really
fans,
is.
I've just
so
found, I found
I have,
that.
Like,
I'm like well, yeah.
Good, like some of my closest friends in LA are like wrestling fans, and they're always watching. And like I don't. I'm fine with watching. I just like don't. And it's kind of a fun thing to watch, even not knowing anything.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They make it that way. I feel like, but yeah, I just never like I don't know a lot. So when like people are geeking out about it, I just can't hold a conversation.
Yeah, of course.
That's exactly where I am now.
Yeah.
I'm like I'm trying to engage myself with what the hell my kids are talking about.
Yeah.
And if you want to see Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant, I cried. I was 12. I cried.
This
it was
is
awful.
Our buddy Vince, who I just mentioned, mm-hmm. he was at that show.
McMahon, your
Vince,
boss? Is
that... No, Vince Averill, our friend.
I know, I'm sorry.
He was at that show, missed the slam.
Jesus
Christ. He was there with a buddy. Ah. He was there with a buddy and his dad, and the buddy's dad was like, we got to beat the traffic.
Oh, my God.
So they left like halfway through the main event.
Oh, my
he
God.
The slam.
Oh.
How fucking crazy is that?
Oh.
Right?
It's a
killer. That's a killer.
Oh, God. Yeah. Nah,
good man.
But no, I have found that, which is just, it's, really just weird. It's strangely interesting to me of just how, and maybe it ties in with like that, what you had said, the fraternity of like the,
yeah,
the
fraternity of losers. Yeah. What I really think is that it's, as far as live performance goes, that's the closest thing to what we do, in my opinion.
I would agree. Yeah,
because you're kind of playing with the crowd,
mm-hmm.
and you're, how well you do is based off the reaction of the crowd, which is kind of like different from anything else.
Right.
Like if you play a great song, you know, regardless, like you, if you play a great song, you play a terrible song, people are gonna clap afterwards,
right?
You know what I mean? But like the, like it's about working the crowd,
yeah.
in both stand up and pro wrestling, mm-hmm. and I think that that's a big thing for me.
Yeah. I've said the same, tying in a bit, I've said the same to a number of friends who are musicians. You know, you can have a bad song. You cannot get it right. You're yeah. still going to get applause.
Yeah.
If we fuck up a joke,
yeah.
you're not getting shit.
Right. Yeah.
Because you just ate dick.
For sure. And I think that's because just the idea of playing a musical instrument blows most people's minds.
Mm, yeah.
And unfortunately, stand-up comedy is extremely hard,
yeah.
but it looks easy as fuck.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is like a bummer on some level. Because then you get people like, then you get Madonna doing a set on the Fallon show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Then you get like, you know, Todd Bridges trying to do comedy,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, those people, not Madonna. That was obviously kind of weird.
Well, no, I know
but, like,
exactly
but,
what
like,
you're saying.
But like guys.
The
who,
concept of.
Totally, yep. like right. the celebrity comic,
mm-hmm.
we're like, oh, this is obviously very easy. I can just kind of step in and do this.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't think that's good for anybody, to be honest.
And I think in a way, it's, you know, it's. I don't know if the term hurtful is correct, but it's like, you know, us.
It's
we.
Not,
you guys
it's not helpful.
Bust your ass
yeah.
to get where you're at, and then this individual just steps in, and because they've already produced themselves a name by doing something else.
Right.
That's like, God damn it. You know, no, that should be me, or that's, you're taking away time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just, it's a theory. I don't know.
It's weird. Yeah. It's a really weird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Mm. Do you guys get a chance to work together a lot? I'm assuming probably not.
No.
That's
I
actually
mean, even before we
this.
Both
yeah.
moved, we were both just,
yeah.
you know, when you're both like featuring a road,
yeah.
it's like you're not working together.
Never.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're in different places. So we only see each other hanging out at the
yeah.
local clubs, and then so yeah, so this is
yeah.
this happened because it's a club we both work. I haven't been back in a couple of years, and
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
it just,
and we got to do it last year too at the Comedy Castle in Detroit.
Yeah, yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, yeah,
that's kind of how we pitched it to Samar because like
Samar
that
too,
happened
yeah.
from Mark wanting to see us do that spot kind of, and then
yeah.
like, this was more just like, hey, we did this last
hey,
year
this
for
last
Mark.
Year. We'd love to do it. This is
know?
Like a similar kind of
yeah.
audience, similar kind of club.
Yeah,
so
cool.
Let's hammer it out.
Yeah,
and yeah, you know, I'm so glad they let us do it too, man. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I'm glad that people showed up.
Yeah, the shows last night were great.
Shows, yeah, people, no, yeah, that first one was pretty packed too. I was surprised.
Well, I sent out a tweet.
Yeah, you did send out a tweet. The Smith Army came out and supported.
And Appleton, the Smith Army.
We'll get those O'Keefe heads out there tonight, man. It'll be good.
Yeah.
We'll get them.
Yeah.
But it is like, I'm always fascinated by like, doing a club without, like headlining a club without credits. I always think that's
mm-hmm.
really like, I always am like, when I lived in Ann Arbor and was like going to the club all the time, I'd always be like, of course I'd be excited to see like Goldman or Patrice or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, oh, I've never heard of this guy and Rod is bringing him. He's probably amazing. Like, let's, you know, let's go see Ben Moore or Jeff
oh, yeah.
Tate. Tate has a
yeah.
name now, but before he, you know,
mm-hmm.
let's go see, you know, I can't think of another name, but yeah.
Whatever.
For sure.
Johnny fake name.
Actually, I did see Johnny, I saw Beaner.
Beans.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw
okay.
Beans a long time ago at Ann Arbor, I think.
Okay.
And he was like, and I actually worked with him here, and he's, man, that guy's great. I
yeah.
love that guy.
I was going to say, I think that's the first time I met you was when.
Oh,
I
totally.
Went,
yeah,
I
yeah.
So, yeah.
Would have been like a
2 years ago,
year
maybe?
And a, year and a, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Something
like
that.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It was me. I did, me and Bozeman came here that year, and me and Johnny came here that
okay,
year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I did this club with Isaac the first time, and that was a guy made us beef stew. I forget his name, but one of the local comics had us to his house for lunch. He made us beef stew.
Really? Where was this?
Here.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding at all.
Oh, my God. I wonder. Is it Nate Haas?
No. Oh, it's Joel something.
Oh, Koontz.
Yeah, Joel Koontz.
Oh, Joel Beef Stew Koontz.
Yeah,
Beef Stew. Old Beef Stew Koontz. Yeah, I know that.
He's like,
come out. Well, I'll make you guys beef stew. Me and Isaac were just like, you doing anything tomorrow? I was like, no. He's like, we're going to get some beef stew then. It's like, sure thing,
Joel, Joel's a pretty cool dude. Yeah,
he was really nice to
us. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he was super nice to us.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while now, which he's
a
good dude.
He's working on that recipe. Yeah, he's gotta...
Well, you know, when you're going to go pro with the beef stew circuit, right, I mean, sure. you gotta spice up your game.
Yeah.
Pun in stew.
In stew.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Also thought beef stew would be the best name for, like, a male stripper.
Beef stew. Yeah, solid name.
It's a very good name for a male stripper.
Beef tenderloin would be another. Be not bad.
Ooh. I'll do one more. Ooh.
Nice.
Use that for a drop for something else.
I can do that, yeah.
Ooh.
That one was weak.
That was a little.
Was really bad. I didn't like that one. I think everyone vote right now. There's going to be a poll at the bottom of the comments. Which was your favorite? Ooh.
Which was your favorite? Ooh. Let's try one more.
So this is, just so everyone listening.
Just so everyone knows.
This is five, I think?
I think this is number five.
Okay.
I think three was the best.
I think three was the best, too, so far.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. But let's give them 15 options.
Right.
There you go. Here's number five. Ooh!
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
That was like Scooby-Doo. I'm sorry.
I don't want to influence any votes.
It's like an orgasmic Scooby-Doo.
That counts, and I also don't like it.
I felt bad.
I don't like number seven. That was six. I don't like it.
It felt weird on my throat.
Ooh.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad.
That was pretty
bad. Seven. Lucky number seven.
Lucky number seven. Look,
put me in there.
Let's see what you got, Igor Larionov, number eight.
Ooh.
No, it's not great.
I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling it.
I didn't mind it.
No? Well, I'm going to try number nine, Gordie Howe, of course.
Ooh.
That's in there.
Number 10, Eli Manning. What?
Delvecchio. Come on. We're doing Red Wings, goddammit.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's not bad.
That was okay.
There's a pitch today.
Yeah, I was trying to go up and down.
Man, I can't wait for you to get all of your listeners to tell you to fucking kill yourself. You just get all these people adding you on Facebook.
What the fuck are you doing?
I like to imagine someone skipping ahead in the episode and just finding that part.
Fucking die.
Yeah, do us a favor. Yeah. The next time you record a podcast, drown yourself. just do that beforehand.
Like, or it could be the opposite. People could be like, hey, you haven't done that ooh bit in a while. You haven't had your guest do 15 oohs.
Yeah. Also, when's the next time you're going to take a bath? I'm going to have a radio for you to hold.
And a toaster.
Ooh.
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 There you go. Sid Abel, number 12.
Aaron Rodgers, 12. You're doing Red Wings. That's right.
When it comes football time, I've never been here in the fall.
Mm.
And I frankly would rather not. Because it seems like the whole fucking thing. How far are we from Green Bay?
30 minutes.
Okay. So that's like,
25 miles.
Yeah.
I think, to the field is probably 30. It might be 30 miles, but I mean, it's half an hour. Yeah.
Okay. Just what, if you, what does a Sunday look like in Appleton in the fall? As far as like local businesses, what goes on? Is it like, Does everything shut down for 3 hours? Is my main question.
Not really.
That isn't a bar.
No, but there'll be so take like the whatever there's like two or three shopping malls. One is huge. That mall will be infiltrated with normally ladies and daughters.
Okay,
and I'm just using that as sort of a broad. I'm using that as
hey, they can be president now.
We
can call them broads.
Yeah, they
go
can.
On.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean fucking anything.
So that's just, I guess that's an odd spectrum, but Busy, but traffic is light.
Yeah.
So that's like prime time. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh god, noon game. Mm. Let's get our nails done.
And there you go.
Let's do this and let's shop for whatever they shop for.
So it's a time for non-football fans mm-hmm. to go do
that's
chores.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I grew up in Ann Arbor, which is where University of Michigan mm-hmm. is, the biggest yeah. fucking stadium in the world.
And that's got to be shut down on Saturday.
Yeah, it's done. Like, it's done. It's done. Yeah. If it's not a bar, it's basically closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's play weird. Like the biggest transition you'll see is playoff games. Yeah. That's where like restaurants will just we're letting everybody go at noon because we're not right. gonna have anybody yeah.
unless
coming
it's
in here.
But
if it's a takeout like delivery joint, yeah, that's where they make some fucking
make a lot of money.
Yeah,
and also Green Bay has a lot of night games typically too. Right?
That is true.
The last couple of years, that's what's actually sort of helped the local businesses. And here's where I was going with this. Here's a spin. If it's a late 3 o'clock game, if it's a late 3 o'clock,
that's okay.
or 7 o'clock game or a Monday night game, mainly the Monday night games, Sundays. Like, every hardware store is fucking packed. Everyone is taking that extra day. It's almost like an extra day of
the week.
It's like almost like an extra day of the week.
That's amazing.
That is sort of the demographic.
That's great.
In a way.
And
it goes for home games or away games.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Home games is where, I mean, hotels here and even south of here. So as you're heading towards Milwaukee, like Oshkosh, up to north of Green Bay, like all the hotels within like a 100-mile radius are full for home games.
For sure.
And that's just it.
Yeah.
But so that's where they thrive. The 10-2 preseason, then 8 regular season home games. That's where then hospitality, food service workers they want to work that. They want to because it's going to be huge.
Right.
And then it's in a town like Appleton, like are the bars full for the games?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
If it isn't, if a bar isn't full, you got a shitty bar. That's
makes
pretty
a lot
much
of
it.
Sense.
Yeah.
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 Because like
the product is already there.
Totally. Yeah.
And even now, if bars having DirecTV or NFL packages, what have you, there's a very large conglomerate of mixed bag fans of throughout the country. Yeah. There's Steeler fans local. There's a huge group of Viking fans, Bears fans. So I mean, you can go and you can have a corner and a TV all to yourself.
There you go,
and that's what's huge.
In the fall, that's how every single bar in Chicago kind of picks.
Yeah,
because there's so many transplants. Every bar in Chicago kind of picks a team.
Yeah.
So I know there's I went to Michigan State, so there's five or six bars where I can go to, and know that the Spartan game's going to be on, and I'm probably going to run into some people from school, which is
that's pretty cool.
Which is great.
That's really
it's
cool,
a great community, but that's. I always thought that was a fast. That's
yeah. I mean,
this is a conversation that is interesting to me and Christopher and maybe Trevor, and then Brendan Shanahan.
That's great.
Holmstrom younger years. Go on, sorry. He was 15 before he was 96. No one remembers that.
Google it. Somebody listening, Google it.
Google it.
And then he wanted to change the number 9. They were like, fucking Gordy Howe, it's retired. He's like, don't look up at the rafters. So they gave him 96. True story.
Okay.
That's so great.
Yeah.
LA, same way. There's obviously a ton of transplants. And up until a few months ago, there was no football team.
Right. I was just going to say now.
It was the same thing every bar had. And I feel like, the Packers are kind of just that team. Mm-hmm. Other than the Cowboys, they just have fans everywhere.
Yeah.
So I feel like there was I'm constantly seeing.
Yeah, I'd say Cowboys, Packers, and Steelers.
I was just going to say Pittsburgh is one that
three.
I can run no matter where you are. There's somebody wearing a Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think there's people wearing Raiders apparel that don't give a shit about the Raiders.
Oh,
it's
just
the apparel.
For sure, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't think they're true fucking
fans. They just have the coolest logo.
Right,
in my opinion.
And coolest jerseys, I think.
Coolest jerseys for sure.
I would agree. Yeah, because those are just badass.
Simple,
jerseys.
You know.
Yeah, and I do like a simple thing. I like a simple jersey. Like they're kind of making Michigan State jerseys. They're giving them a little bunting. And I'm like, this is no, we're not. That's not us, man.
Michigan State across the front.
Michigan
that's
State,
the best one. Right?
That's yeah. But there's these little ornate patterns on the shoulder, and I was like, "That's not us, man." Yeah. He's like, "We line up and hit you in the fucking face,
right?"
The Packers' jerseys have always been super simple too.
Yeah, I think that's why
it's so such a high selling thing too. Outside, it's just like
it works, and it doesn't look.
You can't like you know you can look at like I guess certain throwbacks are cool, but. But also, like, you...
Green Bay's is not
if you're not
one
trying
of those,
to,
by the way.
Shit.
If you're not...
It's just awful. That brown fucking throwback. Oh, right.
God, I meant, like, just, like, more recent...
Totally.
Now it might be cool to see, like, the 90s teal Pistons jersey.
Yeah,
but, like...
Yeah, it's not...
I feel like for a while it was, like, you didn't see that. Because it was, like... Whereas, like... When you just never really... When you stick to kind of the same thing and why it's easier for people to buy... A jersey that are expensive and know that it's going to last.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, like,
because
it's also good to have a player that you know is going to be there.
Definitely.
Because, I mean, I feel like that's the thing with the Lions is that, like, we're just done buying jerseys because, like, they're so expensive and you keep buying whoever you think it, and then you're like, 2 years later, you're like, Fuck, that guy didn't work out.
You know, so like, that's why they invented.
There are a lot of Jason Hansen jerseys.
And Calvin and Stafford, of course.
Yeah. That's easy. But, like, it's fun when you're on a team that has, like, someone other than quarterback receiver.
Right.
Yeah. When you see people with, like,
it was cool seeing a lot of number 90s when I'd go back. It was cool seeing a lot of Sue's. And we thought he was going to be on the team forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we thought he was going
to be
there.
I'm sure there's a lot of, like, Hawk jerseys and, like,
there are still a number of Hawk jerseys floating
around. Woodson's around.
A lot of Woodson's. And that's where, honestly, I, you know, not to just keep yakking bucks. Bubba Franks.
Chimura.
You still see an Amon Green?
Actually, he still lives locally.
William Henderson?
Really?
That's amazing. He does.
He's got a sports TV show.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, no shit.
Did he get 2,000 like, yards one season?
Just short of that. It was like 18-something. But, yeah, that was like a big year. We're like, oh, God, we're going to have a 2,000-yard rusher. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And he just didn't quite happen. Yeah. But Woodson was the guy that kind of got away because, I mean, he went to the Raiders and played three more years very productively.
Last year in particular.
And it wasn't a lot of money. And that's where
bummer.
Our GM, Ted Thompson, was like, dude, you should have just spent the fucking money.
Yeah.
But I don't make those decisions.
I love when a guy either, like, goes back to where he was and lives after he retires or goes back to his college. So I went to Michigan State. T.J. Duckett, who had a journeyman in the league, not a career that was not to be scoffed at. He did a lot. He played a lot of years for a running back that ran like he did.
Mm-hmm.
Bought a house in East Lansing, Michigan, and just runs the town now. Like, it's amazing.
That's great.
It's amazing. When I was a senior, he would just go into bars and, like, he would say to the owner, he'd be like, how much do you think you're going to make tonight? They'd be like, I don't know, like $2,500. He'd be like, here's a check for $3,000. Everyone's drinking on me.
Amazing. That's great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Just because he lived in a college town
where
even if you didn't have the greatest, like, contracts, he still had fuck it money in that town.
Right.
For sure. Which is that's a great way to live.
Well, plus you're living in the Midwest, which is you don't need a lot of money to live in the Midwest.
Also, it's still a legend at Michigan State.
Right.
Just that one catch, man, against Michigan 2001. Yeah.
Mm?
Yeah. Siemens last year. Ooh. Vladimir Konstantinov.
That's awesome.
Oh, I can't wait to do the next one.
That's right.
Oh, next one's a fan favorite that a lot of people.
Ooh,
Dougie Brown.
Ah,
who do you think it was going to be?
Brett Hull?
17?
No,
he was 17.
Yeah,
I'm a Doug Brown guy over Brett Hull. Brett Hull was part of that group that they brought in that were just there to win a Stanley Cup.
But they did.
They did.
It's
do
true.
It.
Which is rare. Whenever you see people do it, it's always like they're basing it off of that.
Yeah, they really do. Yeah, now it's like that was the original. That was the original.
03 Lakers and
and then Dwayne Wade and. What's fucking those other two?
Oh, they did it too.
LeBron and Bosh.
Right. But they did it too, so I guess, did it twice.
They did do it twice.
We only did it once. But all those guys left.
All those guys retired.
They got it, and they're like,
they were
we did it.
Old.
Yeah.
There we go.
But, like, Chelios is still in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a coach, kind of.
Okay.
Oh, I just meant, like, they left after, like, there wasn't, like, they were going to do it again.
Oh, yeah.
After 2002. Was that the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't,
I think so.
It wasn't set up to be like this dynasty sort of like long-term thing. It was a cash
cow. We got a good
cow.
Team. You just, guys want to come along?
You guys want to get here? And Luke Robitaille was like, yeah, sure.
I'm going back to LA. But yeah, sure.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
And Hull was like, that seems like a cool team, I guess. I don't know. No,
sure. Let's, yeah.
Dominic Hasek.
I'll take one.
Yeah. Hasek.
Where can everybody find you guys?
UA Croup.
You got the Twitter. You got the got a website.
Hey, Trevor Smith on Twitter and Instagram. The same. I'm kind of new to Instagram, but I do cartoons. So
yeah, you're.
I wanted to say that. Yeah,
cartoons are great.
I do.
They're really good.
And so Instagram's been, even though I'm newer to it, it's been a more fun outlet for me.
Yeah,
I can throw
found
comics
you last
up.
Night. I followed.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's good stuff. Yeah.
You also do, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, which I'm not, but I still enjoy Trevor's like Game of Thrones.
I would do it. So during the season, I would do a comic every Sunday before the episode.
Okay,
yeah.
That typically was for fan, like people.
Yeah.
It usually had some context to do with the episode. So if you are a Game of Thrones fan, check that they're in order. They're on my website too.
And
I do
a Veep sketch.
He does the Wire monologue.
I do the Wire
you
monologue.
He does videos of vines of him
I'm
doing.
I'm strapped if you ponder him. That's what I do. I say the game is the game, and that's the vine of the week.
That's
great.
But and in LA, I do a monthly show called Crane's Comedy Downtown.
Okay.
That's second Monday of the month, and that's like my regular show.
That's cool.
That I run with two other Michigan guys, comedians Harry Moroz and Corbin Recky, and our producer Trish Hadley. So it's been going great. It's
that's
it's
cool.
really fun. Yeah.
You guys get like decent names there too. Like Todd just did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Todd Glass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. That's been like a fun thing there. And so if anyone's listening to this that's in that area, come check out that show.
For
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man. And I am at the Mike O'Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to see pictures of all the weddings I went to every week. And then I run a twice-a-month show. Do I say bi-weekly or bi-monthly?
I think it's bi-monthly.
Bi-monthly, yeah.
Because it's twice a month.
Twice a month. So a bi-monthly show. Second and fourth Thursday of every month at McGee's Tavern. It's called Issues. It's super fun.
Oh, cool.
It's free. And there's like it's like dollar beers. It's the greatest.
It's awesome.
It's
holy
the best
shit.
For me. And I just host all of them.
Yeah.
And my two co-producers, Julie and Paige, aren't comedians, so I literally just get to be all time host.
That's
and have
cool.
All the fun. And so every show is like a themed show.
Okay.
So for drinking issues, I drank two beers during every comic set. I just got continually more hammered. And for anxiety issues. Julie got to have my phone for the whole show.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right?
That's awesome.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know, 18.
Yeah. And then for financial issues, we have a tip bucket, which pretty much every show in Chicago does if you want to. And they put it on the stool while I was performing. They were like, listen, we usually save the tip bucket for the end. But if you think Mike's doing really well, you can give him some money. It's a lot of like fun shit like that. It's really cool, and it's great, and it should be really fun. A special plug though, October 13th, if you're in Chicago, it was the show before my birthday. It will be Mike O'Keefe Issues.
Cool.
I'll be headlining, and my aforementioned girlfriend, the lovely and very 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 funny Mallory Bradford, will be hosting. And why not follow her MP Bradfo on Twitter?
Yes, absolutely.
Give my old lady a plug.
My old lady.
My old lady.
That's all. Oh, thank you guys so much. This was fun.
This was great.
This was great.
Did you enjoy?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Before we dismount, I should say this. I did like a week 18 earlier. That one doesn't count.
Mulpy.
Just to get to the last one, we can close out on.
On. Here we go.
Anyway, so right before
let's
we
do it
go,
all three together.
So, okay, yeah, well, you're right.
For the captain. The greatest Red Wing in history.
The greatest Red Wing in history. Yeah.
Steve Yzerman. One.
Stevie Y.
One. Two.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah, we ooed 19 times on this podcast.
Great. That was
so great.
Amazing.
Thank you for the all ooh podcast.
That's great.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Yeah, cheers. Launch it.
Hey there, this is Moidle Harrison. You're listening to You Don't Say. Also, check out my book, Just Because I'm Ugly Don't Mean I Don't Get Horny.
Hey, Ma, what's with the wash machine?
Listen, I told you. I've been watching my stories on it.